Welcome to Christ Today. When God calls you to move, you will want to move without delay. I think of Esther when her cousin Mordecai told her, "You are called for a time such as this." And he continues that if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your house will perish. Esther 4:14. And I think of that for each one of us, how when God calls us, we want to respond immediately with our head and our heart and our voice saying, "Yes, Lord." Otherwise, there will be consequences. And we believe the Bible is true and God's word is completely true. And so, what do you want to believe? When you read the Bible, we know what to do, we know how to act, and we want to learn God's character. And so we pray for understanding, for God's understanding, as we face the complexities of life. People in the Bible failed, they had problems, and they had successes, great successes. And so we learn from their example, including when there were times of trouble with political or economic problems or shortages or wars. Yes, all these things have happened repeatedly in history, and we can learn from these things. As Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, there is nothing new under the sun, which is why we study patterns, both in life and in the Bible. And Jonathan Cahn just recently wrote about a pattern. Now, he's the author of The Harbinger, and he has said recently that there was a pattern that is coming about now. At the end of Passover, things often have an event happen. And Passover is over on April 20, 2025. So we wonder what could happen. It's always good to look at the patterns around us. Life has many examples of people who do something or don't do something or prepare or don't. And we get to learn from these examples. I always think of preparedness in terms of water, food, and warmth. But there is also a community and communication. And there is worshiping God as a body of Christ. Well, we see things have happened in history and even today. Right today, there are things going on. There are earthquakes going on. We just saw the one in Thailand and Myanmar. In Bangkok, there was a 37-story building that collapsed. Investigators say that it was because the Chinese company built it using below standard steel. Oh, and then there's other Chinese building projects that have been found to have used similar cheap steel and have had problems. So in this life, we do have problems, but there is also God's hope in life. Now, as the earthquakes and other natural disasters happen around us, both locally and around the world, we can see there is a reason to stay prepared for uncertainty, even for chaos. And in America, we have some earth-shaking events that are, some of them are earthquakes, and other of them are what changes within our society. There's many young men who are becoming conservative nowadays. That's new. And there are examples shown by Charlie Kirk on Turning Point USA. And we can look them up. We can get some encouragement to know that the society is becoming more stable as men and women, especially the Christian ones, are reclaiming their role within family and society. And we have earth-shaking events. Oh, and earthquakes too. Yes, we do. And America still has problems from all sorts of things, ranging from personal relations to honoring God in society and in our personal life. All this leads the person to desire or have enough understanding to seek heaven or allow hell to happen. And that is what we are all about in a way, because when you face eternity, there's nothing more important than knowing God through Jesus Christ. Some of us will want to be a missionary. Oh, some of us to our neighborhood, or a city or a state next to us. And other want to be a missionary to a foreign country. Well, that's a few people. And so let you feel God's urging on your life as God shows his loving kindness to us and to others. God loves us and other people as well. Jesus loves us. He has loved us enough to come to earth as a man and be the sacrifice for our sin on the cross, nailed to a Roman cross. This is a pattern that was shown of sacrifice for sin in the Old Testament, that the Lamb would be sacrificed for sin. And our Bible shows us this pattern, and when we look, we can see the pattern. Oh, I think of Matthew 22:38, that we are to love God and love our neighbor. And this is a part of what we do too. It's a part of the sacrifice that we have as we give to others in life. Love God and love our neighbor. And John 3:3 reminds us that we must be born again to be saved, saved from hell. Oh, and so we search out what these things mean in the Bible, what the character of God is, and many people get distracted from seeking God because they have troubles and pleasures in life, and there is just so much busyness in life that we forget to pursue a relation with Jesus Christ. We can do that through our Bible reading and through our prayer, and we might want to fast as well. So, let's remember Jesus and our relationship with Jesus. It's a part of it is the relationship in the body of Christ when we know other believers. But really the basis of it is to have a relation with Jesus. Anyway, be careful with what you think, speak, and do. Your eternity depends on it. And we know from Matthew 7:14 that the path to life, which is an analogy for heaven, is a narrow path, and the highway to hell is wide. So search this out and make a plan and be faithful to God as you pursue life. I feel a big calling in my life to cry out a warning for what is going on in our world, in our country, with our people around us. And I think of Ezekiel 33:3 and Esther 4:14 and Ezekiel 14:13. Now, all of these just speak to my heart and mind so that we can be reminded of what is going on around us and how important Jesus is. We get distracted, though. We have distractions with our financing, with our family, with the things that we want or don't want. So many distractions, and yet we want to stay focused on Jesus and look at what is clearly in front of us spiritually. But we get distracted by, well, it might be an unexpected expense or a bill that suddenly is right in front of us. And we know how this happens, which is why we want to have a plan and a savings so that we can take care of the unexpected events or unexpected costs in life. And there will be things that will be a challenge to us spiritually, mentally, and physically. So we want to think about it and be prepared to deal with some kind of a difficult or time-consuming event. That just goes on all the time in the world, but we want to know that our eternal life in heaven is the most important thing in front of us. So be concerned with what goes on around us. Oh, and we do have things in the world, even right now, these days. We have conflicts, we have wars brewing, and warfare is expanding. We have earthquakes that are becoming more and more frequent. And yes, I was just thinking of the presidents from Carter to Trump who are supporting a division of Israel. They call it a two-state solution. And if you have listened to Christian prophets, they say if we participate in the division of Israel, that America will be divided. Now, there have been a dozen, 12 or 15 so-called Christian prophets who have had this message about if the United States supports the dividing of Israel, the United States will be divided by a great earthquake, and the Great Lakes, or one of them, will open up and flow down the Mississippi, which will divide America and cause a great big a ditch or a riverway that goes right down America, dividing it, and it would wipe out people, homes, and bridges, and railway lines, and it would be it would lead to a collapsing United States of America. So we can pay attention to what some people say, and we can say this certainly could be true. So we want to get some just-in-case preparations and realize that if an event like that were to happen, it would really collapse the United States, and we would have no more stores to go to. The stores would not be resupplied, and that's something that in history, America has had to deal with. The settlers had to deal with that. And so we get to say it might well be happening in the future. Well, it's another one of those serious distractions that sure could take us away from God, or maybe it would even bring us to God when we had great needs for food or electricity or gasoline. What would we do? I'm not sure what we could do. Well, we could pray, but even with the prayer, we know that there's steps we have to take to realign America with God and have a economy that helps so many people. Speaking of something like this happening, I'm thinking of the money people who have said for years that the debt that America has will cause America to crash and have something that is even greater than the Great Depression happen. And that happens soon. But who knows what soon is? I don't know. But it is what quite a few of the money people have said in the past years, for about the last 8 or 10 years. They might say that a recession is coming or a depression is coming. And the difference between a depression and a recession is a recession takes a few years to recover from, while a depression takes a few decades to recover from. And what we see in our economy today, it looks to me like both are possible, because there are too many things that could happen, including war, including shortages, including inflation. There's many things that could happen, and it just makes sense to get a little prepared. I'm reminded of a Scottish history professor in 1750, Alexander Tytler, and he wrote his theory about the cycles, the life cycle of democracies in history. And he said that the average age was about 200 years. And now America is 250 years old. So he talked about a failure of democracy and reestablishing a new direction. It's actually a very good study. Look it up if you want to. But these days, there are many possibilities right in front of us. We can see them. We can see how things would go wonderful for America, and we could see how things would really take a great big decline. Yes, you could say a crash. So there are many people who are concerned, and of course, there's many people who don't even think about it. They don't think about it until they have their money leave them so quickly, as we have gas and groceries and other expenses increasing and our money decreases ever so fast. So we have the people today who have quick opinions about what is going on, and we have the people who look more in depth. And anyway, they talk about things coming and what the effect will be. Certainly, there is a question of, Trump's tariffs make it better or worse for the American people. The other question is, how long will it take to get better or worse? And what are we going to do when the American people run out of cash or run out of credit? There are things that are going on which are affecting our whole life, like the Federal Reserve. We don't usually think about the Federal Reserve, but there are people who read what the Federal Reserve has spoken about. And so there is a question of how the Federal Reserve manipulates money and interest rates, and that there are things that go on, like it's called the overnight funds rate, where banks can take out a bunch of money for a short time. Well, anyway, the Federal Reserve writes about these things in general, and there is a question of who listens to what the Federal Reserve says. A lot of people do. A lot of big financial people, including the mutual funds like BlackRock and State Street, they pay close attention to what the Federal Reserve says, and they seem to have some inside information. And that leaves us regular people to try to figure out what is going on, and therefore, what should we do about what we understand is going on? Well, we all have a different opinion, don't we? But we can see that there could be trouble coming, and so many people are saying that money is going to fail. The dollar will fail. Other countries' monies have failed or gone through great declines. So what we all need to do is buy gold and silver, because that has been stable for thousands of years. It's a big question. And we notice that there is a trend for central banks to buy tons of gold. Not ounces, not pounds, but tons of gold. Oh, for instance, Poland has bought 12 tons of gold. Great Britain has 200 tons of gold. Iran has 300 tons of gold. Poland has 400 tons of gold. Russia has 1,000 tons of gold. China has 2,000 tons of gold. And the United States has Fort Knox, which apparently has 8,000 tons of gold. Well, we cannot verify what any country actually has for real, but we do assume that the numbers have some sort of truth to them. Now, the point of it is that if the central banks around the world are believing that gold is the only stable currency, then maybe every one of us should get a few ounces of gold too. And an ounce of gold is not cheap. I mean, it's close to $4,000 now, and an ounce of silver is still under $40 an ounce. So, do we get some stability in our life and buy a little gold, a few 1 ounce coins, or a few 1 ounce coins of silver? We each have an understanding, and we each have to act on it. And I don't know what your understanding is, but if the big money is doing this, I think it's good if we could listen to it. Now, I don't know that we would ever go to the store and buy anything with a 1 ounce silver coin. We certainly wouldn't not do it with a 1 ounce gold coin, because who can make change for when you buy groceries or gasoline? Who has change for a $3,000, $4,000 coin? Nope. So we get to figure out what makes sense for us. Currency does make sense, but it is losing its value. The dollar is, and so has many other currencies around the world. As the Federal Reserve continues to tell us how secure the dollar is. and we know that, it was Bush and Obama. And, well, there have been a number of people, including Biden and now Trump, have all had a movement towards electronic currency. And that's going on right now. Executive orders have been signed. And so the government federal agencies have been moving towards a coin that is electronic. And we get to figure out and absorb what happens with it. We don't know, but it certainly could trigger a universal money system, which would potentially really hurt people or Christians or both. Well, there's lots of people in government that are wanting to have this system because it's more efficient. And somehow we have to see how we would look out for ourselves, either if we had to go into the system or not. This is important for our financial future if we are going to be a part of the worldwide system or not. Well, there are failures going on all around the world. There are troubles and difficulties, and we get to figure out how we're going to deal with them. We can study money. We can study who buys silver and gold. And we can search what the Bible says about a stable economy. It's all very interesting. Well, if you're interested, it's interesting. And if you're not interested, the system will come along, and we will either say yes or no. And if we say no, I don't know how we're going to survive. But we are told that we are not to be a part of the beast system. Therefore, we get to figure out how we're going to survive. Well, let's try to understand Scripture. And let's try to understand what our basic needs are. And there is nothing more basic than God. When you are looking at that last moments of life, you know there's nothing more important than God. And there are people who do look into the material things, and there are people who look into the spiritual life of people. And so we want to do what we understand to do, to love our Lord God and our neighbor, just like the Bible says. We also want to know what is going on with the economy and the dollar and international currency, because we all need to transact. And somehow we might be trading, well, who knows what? But if we have eggs, we might trade eggs for something else. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it means we will have a way to survive, we hope. And even if we don't, then we have heaven in our future when we have that relationship with Jesus Christ. We do want to have that strong faith to live for God, and if we need to die for God, that's what we do. So just make sure that we are perishing for the glory of God, if it ever comes to that. Well, there are plenty of examples. There's examples in the Bible, and we do want to follow Jesus Christ. By the way, is there enough evidence in your life? If you were to be convicted of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to show that you are indeed a Christian? I think this has an eternal question about, are you living a Christian life? Are you showing the love of Christ to others? And in these days, we do have something to consider about life and the end of the age, which is coming soon. But soon? What is soon? It's different. Some people would say a few months, some a few years, a few decades, or whatever it is. But it looks like the end of the age is quickly approaching, and we want to be true to God as we live through this life. I think of the times that we are in, and that makes me think of 2 Timothy 3:2, which describes how there will be people who love themselves more than God, and how the people will think they are strong and they have no needs, and so they do not search for a relation with God. And of course, that means big trouble when the end of life comes, and we want to consider what is coming, whether it's shortages or the Great Tribulation. And I think of the troubles that are coming, I call them the pleadings of God, so that people, like the people who are not saved yet, that they will see the troubles and they will align with God's will and God's word, which is to love God and love our neighbor. And there are different ways to do it as we go through life. Well, there are plenty of financial people these days who talk about how the economic problems could really come along and hurt us. That is something we want to be aware of, because the way I see it is that if we have preparedness things on hand, we can live a little longer to speak about the love of Jesus Christ for people, and that they can come to salvation. Well, there are plenty of Christian people, pastors, speakers, who see that there are troubled times coming. And if you read the Bible, you can see that too. Trouble is coming. And what do we do about it? I think we draw closer to Christ and live a life that is faithful to Jesus Christ. Now, there's Jonathan Cahn, and speaking of patterns, he speaks about the time after Passover, and Passover is over on April 20th of 2025. And so there's a question of what is the pattern, and will there be big changes happening after Passover? You see, that's a pattern. It has happened in history, ancient history and modern history. Jonathan Cahn and Mark Blitz have talked about these things with the blood moons, or what could go on pretty quickly. And will there be chaos and collapse? Well, that's a part of what Jonathan Cahn's Harbinger book is about. It talks about the problems that will bring people closer to God. As you know, when there's a hard time, whether it's a 9/11 event or a famine or an earthquake, people often return to church and seek God through Jesus Christ. It's a real pattern. So why would we be surprised if hard times come along to bring people closer to Jesus? After all, isn't that the goal? To have an eternal heaven with God Jesus Christ? Yes, yes, of course it is. And so, as I just said, there's money interests who talk about a collapse coming. I also think of several prophetic people. I think of Pastor Dana Coverstone, who had a vision of the collapse of the United States dollar, where there were paper dollars just blowing through the streets as though they were leaves. The dollar had lost nearly all of its value. So if that's something that's going on, we have to use wisdom and make our purchases make sense about what is coming. Are we all going to be hungry? Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke say that. There'll be famine and earthquakes and epidemics. And so we get to figure out, what are we going to do about it? Do you believe the Bible is true? If you believe it, then you can take some steps. And those steps are for preparing for the hard times. That would be a good idea, in my opinion. As we see, even wars go on. And what happens with wars? Well, there's get to be shortages and people hurt. And I think about what is coming to the USA. Well, I look at those certain prophetic people. Well, actually, there have been a lot of them. It's just that most of them we don't know. But some of us will remember the names of Henry Gruver, Dimitri Dudeman, or Chuck Jungbrandt. And we know that they had visions or dreams. And so how much do we pay attention to it? I guess that's for you to seek God and ask God about. See what you should do. But we do have big lessons about preparedness. And they are different for every one of us. And there will be very good events and very bad events. That's just a historical pattern. So when we think about the trials that we are going through today, we do think about what could happen. There are different forms of tribulation on this earth when we have good things and bad things happening to us. There's man-made things like man-made disasters and terrorism or life without electricity. And there's also reasons that natural disasters happen that could cause these same kind of disasters or terrorism or life without electricity or food shortages. These things happen. And whether they're man-caused or God-caused, we do want to be careful because we're pretty sure floods will happen, fires will happen, volcanoes will happen, and earthquakes will happen. So disasters will happen. Oh, and there's a new one, nuclear war. That's one that the dangers are increasing. Look around the world. You see there's real possibilities. You'll see there's dangers that are going on. And that we want to be prepared for the just in case. If there is a nuclear event, I hope that everybody has a little container of potassium iodide pills and for themselves and their family and their loved ones. A container of potassium iodide pills, let's just say it's $50. And wouldn't it be better to be able to digest your food with the $50 of food? Because the iodine, the good iodine from the potassium iodide pills, gets absorbed into your thyroid gland. And if you don't have the good iodine, potassium iodide pills, your thyroid gland absorbs radioactive iodine from the event, whether it's an accident or intentional war event. And that will kill your thyroid gland. You need your thyroid to digest food or to govern the glands, other glands in your body. So it's just a really good idea to have some on hand. What? Isn't it worth $50 as an insurance? Sure. And when you think of all the countries in Europe, Russia, and the countries around there, many of them have already sent potassium iodide pills to the households in their country. And then some people buy it on their own. That's something I think we ought to do. Every one of us ought to have a container of potassium iodide pills for the just in case. If you think about just accidents that have happened, I think about Chernobyl and what happened with that. How about Fukushima in Japan? These things will occasionally happen. Will they happen in our lifetime? The thing is we don't know. And that's why we have a little preparedness for what could happen. And I think about, we want to have a few things on hand, whether it's supplies or food or tools or garden seeds. There's too many things that can be helpful, and we want to have our own thoughts about what we want to have on hand. I do like the potassium iodide pills for every family. You take them for a couple of weeks if there is a nuclear event or accident that has happened, or a war thing. And for the Fukushima event that happened, I remember that I tried to get some potassium pills in the Bay Area, and I went to store after store. Nobody had them, and even there were algae tablets that have a little bit of iodine in them, and they were all sold out of those. People know what to do, but you have to do it in a timely manner. And so maybe you should get a little supply of potassium iodide tablets so that you can have your children, grandchildren, and even yourself get through a crisis that has a radioactive iodine release. Well, there's lots of things that we can see are coming. And even if we don't know what they are, we can see that the possibilities are very great about all sorts of troubles happening. And so let's do a little preparation for the just in case. And we do know there are earthquakes that have hit around the world. Oh, and hurricanes too. All these things happen. I think of California had that Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989 and the Rock Ridge earthquake in 1995. These things actually happen. Of course, there was, as I said, Fukushima, and now there's the recent one in Thailand and Burma, Myanmar. So there's these things that really do happen in the world. And we can do a little preparation for the just in case. Natural events happen, and they can really change our life. So let's get a little prepared. There are things that God allows, and there are things that man does. And they could really change your life completely. So I think the best thing we can do is, yes, look at what goes on, but also look at the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also talk to people about a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you're facing your last minutes of life, that's what you do. You do that. We make choices, and we get through hard times, and we get through easy times, and life is sometimes very normal and regular, and sometimes life is just a big challenge. So let's get a little prepared for those just-in-case events. When we have concerns about war, famine, or anything else, we do that. And I just mentioned the European governments are getting potassium iodide. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. France is now preparing a booklet to send to every household in France that is telling all of its citizens to prepare. that there might even be a physical invasion of France. Do we believe it? Is it possible? That is so unusual for what we have seen in recent history, but in the old days, it was common for one nation to get invaded. That just happened. So we seek understanding about what can happen and why preparedness is good and what we want to have on hand. That is just, well, some people call it reasonable. I do. And I see the caution signs all over the place. And I want to call on people. I want to shout to them to say, look out. The way the world is going right now, we have end times things happening. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about end time events coming around. And how much do you believe the Bible? Is it true? Well, we really have wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, which is epidemics, and earthquakes. Yeah. I believe God. I believe the Bible. And so we want to have things ready for the just in case the big events happen. And I know that there have been supplies that just disappear. Food disappears right off the shelf if a hurricane like Hurricane Katrina is coming. And speaking about Hurricane Katrina, the first responders that I spoke to talked about having at least 3 weeks of food on hand and water on hand. No, it's not easy. Maybe you better get some 5-gallon water jugs. But if we do nothing, we will be prepared for nothing. And water is essential. FEMA and the Red Cross say that 1 gallon a day per person is the minimum. And that's just for drinking and cooking. It does not include taking a bath, washing, or a toilet flush. So we just need to have some things available that are plain and simple. Water shortages happen all the time around the world. And if we have an event, there will be water shortages right here in America. Oh, and if we do have that kind of a water shortage, you will want to use much less soap and shampoo for your personal care because it won't wash out. You won't have enough water. And certainly, you don't want the smell of a soap or a shampoo on your body because it's very notable if you don't wash it out. So those are some of the little cautions about things. If you don't have 5-gallon water containers, get a few 50-gallon water containers. It's just makes sense. We need water. And when trouble happens, everybody will expect to have what they want at the stores. But if there's an emergency, the stores won't be open. The stores will close. Look at what has happened around the country or in an emergency situation, and we will be shocked. If you're going to live off of canned foods, well, I had a situation where I did that once, and I ate 5 cans of canned food a day. And so if you're doing that, you will probably need more cans than you expect of canned food. And you will also need to rinse out those cans or they will smell. You won't have a garbage service because that's one of those things that just stops if there's an emergency. So consider all these things, or how to flatten cans in case you need to, have a manual can opener in case the electricity goes off. We want to see about how we can rinse out or burn the cans so they don't smell and get all moldy. It's one of the regular things we do if we are considering how do we deal with food and water shortages, living without electricity for a few weeks or a few months, or if it's really bad, for a few years. All these things are real possibilities, and we have enemies that want to destroy the USA. So give it a good thought about what you can do. We don't know what would be available, if even electricity would be available. It's something to, it's an emergency supply. And if you know what an emergency takes, well, that's great. Most of us don't, but most of us will be helping our friends and family and neighbors to have enough resources to be able to live, to get through a time of trouble. A year ago, I was given some correspondence from a Christian ministry in South Africa. They were a missionary couple to South Africa, Christian ministry. And so that was something that you want to talk about a breakdown in society, which is why I'm bringing this up. It was a breakdown of society. And so that couple had some terrible conditions in South Africa where rape and robbery were all the time. Well, anyway, this missionary couple rented a house in a fenced compound where there were armed guards at the gates. And they were writing about what had happened to their missionary friends in the United States, and they said, 2 weeks ago, the two armed guards that were at the gate to our complex were shot dead, and their weapons were taken. So this can happen anywhere if there's chaos and collapse. When this missionary couple went grocery shopping, the man would drive the wife to the front of the grocery store, and he would stand next to his car with a gun in his hand. That's the Republic of South Africa. And these things happen in a really tough situation. That missionary couple had 5 dogs, big dogs, in their home. 2 stayed at the front door, and 3 of those big dogs stayed in their bedroom with them. That's what it's like to have a collapse going on. There is uncertainty, there is violence, there is terrible things going on. And so we think of things happening in our country, but we don't think about really how bad it could be. And I bring this up about the missionaries to South Africa because it was real. It really happened. And it happens to all sorts of countries. It's something that we have to know could happen, and then just consider, what would we do if we had something happen where thousands of people were unhappy? Speaking of thousands of people, many times there are thousands of people protesting, but it makes no difference to the government. It makes no difference at all. The government does what they want to do, and the people are left to suffer through a hard time. I've been in lots of these countries. It's tough when the society breaks down, when there are terrorists. I remember the Shining Path terrorists in Peru when I was there. I've seen South Africa too. I've seen other countries. It gets to be really a tough situation when we deal with chaos and confusion. These are the things that really go on, and we can see them as we travel. The world is a wonderful place. It is wonderful to see that man has done so many amazing things, and so has God, so have Christians. So much goodness. But we also have trouble going on in our country and around the world. Our country is beautiful. The world is beautiful. But there are so many things that are trouble. God caused some of them. Man caused some of them. And we have things that we ought to be prepared for, the just in case. I know that there's, if you look at the internet, you see other things that are going on around in our world. We see the signs of Let's say of Revelation, or their blood red rivers around the world. That's on every continent and in our country as well. Blood red rivers are there. Is that an act of God? Is that an act of man? An accident? All of it. But the fact is, just like Revelation 16:4 says, there will be red rivers, where the third angel poured out his vial upon the waters, and the rivers became blood. Well, does that mean blood red? Does that mean red, red? I'll leave that to you. But I think that this is a source of truth. And so what part of the Bible are you going to pay attention to? What part of the Bible are you going to believe? And if the Bible says troubles are coming, which it does, how are you going to get prepared? First, to meet Jesus, and then to stay alive to preach the good news of the gospel. Well, we have different ways of doing it, but it surely does help to think about what could be coming and then take preparation steps so that you can stay alive to, yes, to stay alive, but mostly to preach the good news of the gospel to the survivors. That's what I think. There have been historical events which create patterns, and that means that we can have a good idea of what is coming, including that thing which Jonathan Cahn said about right after Passover. It's a pattern. Will it be this year? Will it be next year? Will it be soon or in decades? Well, we know that prepared people live longer and better than the unprepared people. So I urge everyone to get prepared. And yes, there are the signs and the like the blood moons that have happened. And around the world they've happened. Over the United States they have happened. Eclipses. Things happen, and they are what I see as a warning. So use this time to get closer to Jesus Christ so that you know that your life is in his will, then that your death is in heaven. There's so many people who there's reason to say that they would not go to heaven, and so you get to examine that very closely, because it surely is worthwhile to do what you need to do on earth so that you have an eternity in heaven. So think about it and ask yourself about what it takes to know God, what it takes to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God, and how are you going to live pure and holy, and what are your habits so that your lifestyle is directed to God and to Jesus, and that your life is pure and holy the way you live it. We have our life, and we want it to point to our eternal life with God in heaven. So do think about your eternity. Choose wisely for what you do in life each and every day. Sing praise to Jesus. Worship God as our Lord and our Savior. And stay yielded to God's will. We might have to read about what God's will is when we read the Bible, and these will form the choices that we make right now as we go through life. These will determine your eternal future, heaven or hell. Choose Jesus and live like you have made that choice. So live in God's holy peace and have that eternity in heavenly comfort. Yeah. Choose wisely and do what you choose. Consider your choices and live appropriately. Well, there's so many things that happen in life. There's people who choose to do nothing and they get an eternity in hell if it appears that way. And I still remember the time when I heard a man, I was in the hospital, and he would often blaspheme God, use God's name in vain. And Oh, one morning I heard the, it sounded like hounds, you know, dogs barking. And I just thought of the hounds of hell were coming to get him. What a terrible thing that would be. So we want to have God in our life so that we know that heaven is our future. If you'd like to think about preparedness, I have my preparedness thoughts brochures that I send out freely. Please send me a stamped self-addressed envelope. I'm always concerned about having the broadcast continue, so I do ask for donations. But send that stamped self-addressed envelope for my preparedness thoughts to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. God bless you, and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.